Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease." The doctors of the future are here. Welcome to Phase 3 Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, MD, one of the doctors of the future.
Good afternoon and welcome to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me here on the second day of December 2018. We have an informative show for you as normal. Again, I am Dr. Keith Henry. I am a naturopathic doctor based in Orlando, Florida. And I'd like to welcome you and greetings. In the show today, we are going to be talking about a few informative and exciting things. First off, we are going to follow the outline that we normally follow, where there's a week in natural news review. This is the first segment, and then there's the healing food segment, and then there's the healing herb segment. In this first segment, the week in natural news review, I'm going to be discussing and analyzing three articles that came out during the week. The first one, I'm going to be talking about how losing sleep can actually increase the likelihood of obesity. In other words, about how losing sleep can make us fatter. I'll also be discussing another article concerning a cardiologist who is basically healing patients by putting them on a plant-based diet. And thirdly, in this first segment, I'm going to be discussing how turmeric can actually help heal spinal cord injuries better than drugs or surgery. Very fascinating article. So as you know, if you haven't listened before, in this first segment, I take the Week in Natural News Review segment, I take three articles that came out during the week and just discuss and analyze and talk a little bit about them and give my viewpoint and perspective on them. The second segment is the Healing Food segment. In the Healing Food segment, I will discuss this week a little bit about the benefit of onions. This segment, I like to talk about, take a food and talk about the benefits, nutritional and sometimes even the therapeutic benefits of that food. And this week, we'll be talking about onion, try and explain a little bit about how onions are used to help respiratory disorders as well as elevated blood triglycerides, etc. And in our final segment, the healing herb segment, I want to talk to you a little bit about the charcoal, activated charcoal, which is one of my favorite of all times, and why you should have it on hand at all times. Again, I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. You are listening to the Phase 3 Wellness podcast. We use the Blog Talk Radio platform to broadcast, but the show is available on YouTube. It's available on iTunes. It's available on many, many different platforms. So also on iHeartRadio. So just if you can't listen to all the show now, or if you are coming in the middle, we'll just like the beginning. But if you ever come in the middle of one of our shows and you want to listen and catch it, it will be available on those platforms. Let's get started. Let's get to our first article in the Week in Natural News Review segment. This is the article. This article is taken from naturalnews.com. And this is the lead-out article basically for today. And losing sleep is entitled "Increases the Likelihood of Obesity," a study finds. So actually, by us not getting enough sleep could be making us fatter. The article, again, is from naturalnews.com, and the article points out how sleep deprivation and obesity have long been associated with each other. And beforehand, the article goes on to say how mostly it was thought that people couldn't eat or they couldn't sleep, so they would go and they would snack during the night, and this was the result, and weight gain or obesity was the result. However, they point out a recent study suggests that the relationship between these two runs deeper than initially thought. There was a study in Science Advances, and in this study, researchers found that a single night of sleep deprivation significantly alters a person's metabolism and their ability to store fat. The article goes on to point out how in this study, first it points out how, of course, obesity is one of the most prevalent diseases in our society, affecting more than 93 million people in the United States alone. That's not even taken into account around the world. But 93 million people, that's only 350 million people in the U.S., and 93 million are affected by obesity. The article goes on to point out how the increasing incidence of this condition can be attributed to unhealthy lifestyle choices involving diet, exercise, and now we're seeing clearer sleep. Now, we've talked about this a little bit before on the Faith Through Wellness podcast. You've heard me talk about it over and over again about the laws of health that the Creator has laid out for us. The first one being trust in the Creator, then sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. Rest is sleep falls under the category of rest. And now you've heard me talk about over and over and over again how these basic laws of health are basically the foundation of preventing disease and also the foundation of healing disease once it's contracted. An ounce of is worth a pound of cure, so it's far better to not have to be sick at all, which most of you, I'm sure, will agree. Now, to go on with this article citing this study, it says that although many studies have established a relationship between sleep deprivation and obesity, there's still not much known about molecular mechanisms behind this. In this study, however, the researchers collected fat, muscle, and blood samples from 15 healthy participants in two instances, which are after a night of sleep deprivation and after getting sufficient sleep. So they had the people, first they collected them after they had gone through one night of sleep deprivation, and then they collected the same samples after getting a night of sufficient sleep. It says that this was done to determine possible changes in metabolic activity. The results showed that sleep deprivation eventually alters fat cells so that they can generate and absorb more lipids. The researchers also observed lower levels of proteins in the muscles that were responsible for building and maintaining muscle mass. So they found that by not getting enough sleep deprivation effectively alters the fat cells so they can actually generate and absorb more lipids. Not only that, they found that the levels of proteins in the muscles that were responsible for building and maintaining muscle mass decreased. They also found that there was an increase in inflammation associated with type 2 diabetes after a night of sleep deprivation. So again, here you have the disease of diabetes being also affected, or the likelihood that you can develop diabetes being affected by not getting enough sleep. That's just after one night of sleep deprivation. The article cites Dr. Jonathan Cedernais, who is a circadian researcher from Uppsala University in Sweden, and one of the authors of this study. And they point out that he said that their results prove that sleep has an irreplaceable role, not just in conserving energy, but for many other functions as well. This is why when you hear me talk about the laws of health, and I say that they are crucially important, because they're simple in their application, but they're powerful in their results. And so this is why they help prevent disease, and they also help cure disease once it's developed. And so these laws of health, a scientific application and understanding of them are crucial for our healing. The article goes on to say, this study shows that getting enough sleep can potentially reduce the risk of obesity. And they cite one study how children and preteens who lack sleep are 58% more likely to become obese as adults. They go on to point out some other consequences of sleep deprivation. They say that if that's not enough to convince you to start getting some rest, then consider the other consequences that sleep deprivation may have on your health. And they're going to point out how, and some of these we've talked about before, how sleep deprivation can increase cardiovascular diseases. Studies have shown, they say, that people who do not get enough sleep have a higher risk of heart attacks as well as strokes, since this can cause inflammation or interfere with the brain's ability to control the cardiovascular system. They point out how it has also been shown to increase blood pressure and heart rate. Lack of sleep is also, the article points out, been associated with depression and anxiety. They point out how after a long night of unrest, people tend to become irritable and moody, so it's not shocking that a long period of sleep deprivation could lead to depression or anxiety. In other words, it affects how the brain functions, thus leading to an increased potential of having ultimately anxiety, and then the opposite result being depression. In fact, that the next thing they point out is that sleep is essential for creating and maintaining connection between the different brain cells, which are needed for memory. Therefore, more of a sleep deprivation also, they point out, makes it harder to concentrate and coordinate the different parts of your body. This increases the risk of injuries and accidents that could be fatal. They also tie not getting enough sleep deprivation with infertility, and a weak immune system. So again, all of these things tie in. There's many things. Just this one health law of sleep is associated with increased likelihood of being obese. Sleep deprivation is also associated with cardiovascular diseases, depression and anxiety, impaired brain function, infertility, and also weakening of the immune system. Because as you sleep, your body produces substances known as cytokines that help fight off disease-causing bacteria and viruses. So sleep deprivation will lessen the ability of the body to do this and increase the likelihood of you developing a disease or abnormality of some sort. So again, the health law of sleep, rest, like I said before, is simple in its application, but is advanced benefit. I highly recommend that we get enough sleep. Ideally, 8 to 9 hours of sleep are best for most people. 8 hours tend to be very, very ideal for most people. You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to go ahead now and move to our second article. We're still in our first segment, Week in Natural News Review. And this is an article from blackdoctor.org. And it's entitled, Amazing Doctor Saving Lives with a Plant-Based Diet. And of course, you know, on here, I am a big advocate of a plant-based diet. I know that it works. I follow it myself. I've seen it work in my practice. And that's why I teach people that you're going to have better health if you follow a plant-based diet than if you don't. You will probably live longer based upon the science. Well, not probably, you will live longer based upon the science if you follow a plant-based diet. You will have less obesity, you have less heart disease, less diabetes. Any disease that you can think of can be affected positively by following a plant-based diet. Now, according to this article published at blackdoctor.org, it says that when you think of traditional medicine nowadays, it goes a little something like this. You get sick, you go see the doctor, and the doctor tells you to take a certain medication to feel better, which may or may not keep you healthy. Modern-day medicine really isn't mainly about preventive medicine. But there's one doctor who is changing that without traditional medicine. Dr. Baxter D. Montgomery is a board-certified cardiologist, the article says, with years of experience in the latest medical practices and nutritional health. Goes on to say that he is a clinical assistant professor of medicine in the Division of Cardiology at University of Texas in Houston. He's also a fellow of the American College of Cardiology and the founder and president of the Houston Cardiac Association. The article goes on to say further, having seen many patients suffer the consequences of chronic heart disease, Dr. Montgomery founded the Montgomery Heart and Wellness Center in 2006 with the mission to reverse and prevent life-threatening illnesses. It's located in Houston, Texas, it says. And that at this center, he uses a state-of-the-art wellness facility. The center is a state-of-the-art wellness facility complete with all the technology and resources to provide comprehensive medical and wellness care. It says that Dr. Montgomery, in his medical practice, he combines it with the food-driven lifestyle. He says that he introduces patients to a diet that helps reverse chronic conditions such as heart disease, hypertension, obesity, and diabetes without medication or surgeries. Now, it's interesting when we naturopathic doctors or homeopaths or herbalists or whoever or health educators talk about the capacity of diet to reverse chronic conditions such as heart disease and hypertension, obesity and diabetes without medication or surgery. Sometimes it appears hard to believe. And even many doctors, many medical doctors see it as they say it's quackery. But the science is the science. And whether you agree with it or not, the facts are the facts. It works. And it works if you apply it in the real world. The fact of the matter is this, as I've said before, the number one killer is heart disease in this country. And we've been on a certain type of certain paths in treating this for a long time. And it's not getting better, but it's only increased. And I say heart disease, basically circulatory disease, it would be strokes and heart attacks, etc. So if these things are not getting better, but they're only increasing or staying the same, that means sometimes we need to consider other alternatives. And if we would understand that the Creator has given us alternatives that work. They work in the real world. They work in the lab. They just work, period. But as I've said before, there are interests, in such as the pharmaceutical companies, that stand to lose money. And not only them, but a lot of people who are involved with them, they stand to lose money. And apparently they've determined that it's better for many people to die or be sick than for them to lose money. So that's the gist of it. The article goes on to point out how Dr. Montgomery points out how he has refined his process and found positive results in severely ill patients over two decades. They quote him where he says, "The body maintains itself, adjusts and repairs itself over time." He goes on to say, "As we replace our internal and external cells, the body has to have the right substances to replace them with. Replacing substances with the consumption of plant-based foods help the body repair itself." They quote him further as saying, "It's not enough just to consume plant-based foods. One must consume zero servings of animal products. This may seem extreme, but I've seen individuals with severe health conditions completely reverse their conditions with minimally processed plant-based food. This allows diabetes to be reversed, blood pressure reversed, heart failure and hypertension reversed as well." Now think about it. As he points out, he says it may seem extreme, and this is something that us natural practitioners encounter a lot, as well as medical doctors who may practice natural medicine. People say it's extreme. It's extreme to go on an all plant-based diet. Some people, not everyone. But consider this. Consider that the diet that most people eat leads to cancer, where they have to have surgeries, where they have to have their breast lopped off or their prostates yanked out or organs cut out, or diabetes, where you have to have legs maybe amputated. That is extreme. That is extreme. So this is what we have to understand. Compared to that, a vegan diet is not extreme. And so this is just that society has taught and conditioned us to believe that to eat a vegan or a plant-based diet is extreme. The article goes on to cite Dr. Montgomery again, and they quote him as saying, "Nature has provided us with the best nutrition possible. To maximize nutritional benefit, it's best to eat food in its most natural state. For example, it's better to eat a fresh apple than to drink processed apple juice with sugar. Whole food means eating the whole apple rather than some derivative. Live food means having it as fresh as possible without any processing." He says, "When you eat food in this state, you will get many more vitamins, minerals, enzymes, phytochemicals, and other benefits from the food." This is very accurate. So again, as I've said on here many times before, the closer you eat to the garden and the closer you eat to the colors of the rainbow, Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, the colors of the rainbow, your food reflects that, those colors, and it's also closer to the garden, the healthier you will be. The less likely you will be to develop some of these diseases that you have to go either through surgery or just die because it's too far advanced. Remember, let your medicine be your food and your food be your medicine. This is Dr. Keith Henry. You're listening to Faith Through Wellness. We're still in our first segment, the Week in Natural News Review segment. And we're going to pivot over now to our third and final article in this segment before we move on to our next segment, our healing food segment. The third article in this segment comes from Green Med Info, and it's entitled "Turmeric Heals Spinal Cord Injuries Better Than Drug Surgery." Better than drug or surgery review suggests. And it's interesting, another interesting article. They cite a study published in Neurology Research International and entitled "The Potential of Curcumin in Treatment of Spinal Cord Injury." And they point out in this article how that the research suggests that the ancient Indian spice turmeric and its primary polyphenol curcumin may provide victims of spinal cord injury, SCI, victims of spinal cord injury, which is basically abbreviated SCI in the remainder of the article, a victim of spinal cord injury, a safer and more effective approach than conventional treatment, which relies primarily on surgery and corticosteroids, a class of anti-inflammatory drugs notorious for adverse health effects. Now think about that for a moment. It would sound almost incredible that a simple spice or herb like turmeric could be more efficacious than surgery or drugs. But it only seems incredible because we've basically been conditioned to think that those things are superior to any other brand of healing. The article goes on to say further that curcumin has been validated in hundreds of studies to have immense value in treating a wide range of inflammatory-based diseases. And it's at greenmedinfo.com. They point out how they've done a lot of research on it, and they have. The article says further, despite this wealth of already published research demonstrating curcumin's powerful anti-inflammatory properties, the new study was the first to systematically review all the available data on curcumin's effect on spinal cord injury, enabling a clearer picture of its value in relationship to standard therapies. The study could point out curcumin's potential superiority vis-a-vis corticosteroids. And they quote the study, quote, because all studies that compare the two show superior results for curcumin over corticosteroids, it should be true that curcumin better acts as the inflammatory source of SCI, remember, spinal cord injury, mediated neurological injury, although this question remains unanswered in patients. So they're basically saying, when you look at all of the evidence, not emotions, not, you know, what we think, but when you look at all the evidence, all the studies that compare the two show superior results for curcumin over corticosteroids. Here on Green Med Info, the article, they ask, why has curcumin been excluded from clinical research on spinal cord injury and many other potential disease applications thus far? And they go on to say, the primary reason is that it is not patentable. And like all other natural substances of medicinal value, the massive capital inputs required to fund clinical trial research, required for drug approval will simply not flow into something that has no potential return on investment. And this is true. And let me say this. Notwithstanding all of the shenanigans involved with the drug companies, pharmaceutical companies, and, you know, paying off politicians or to influence laws, and some of the other things that they've done to suppress natural remedies, the fact of the matter is, as a business decision, it would not make good sense to pour millions of dollars into a herb or supplement that you can't patent and make your money back. So from that perspective, I totally understand their position. But at the same time, even though that may be true, there's nothing stopping them from still investing in drug medication and not trying to shut down and misrepresent the actual things that can heal the people. The article goes on to say further, this is a vitally important point. The absence of clinical proof via randomized, double-blind, multi-center, placebo-controlled human clinical trials does not mean that a substance is not clinically efficacious, the article says. The article goes on to say, the problem with evidence-based medicine and its proponents is that they assume an epistemological stance in the tradition of Napoleonic law, what is not explicitly allowed, for instance, is forbidden. What is not explicitly confirmed as true is assumed false. This is a type of medical monotheism, scientism that effectively closes the door, they say, on a practically infinite number of natural therapies that will never have the support of market forces that thrive on proprietary formulas and merely palliative approaches, which through evading resolving root causes produces an infinite growth model of incurability, etc. So basically, they're saying essentially that as long as we follow this method, that many of these natural remedies that could be curing people from diseases, and healing them and saving them not only from diseases but from ultimate death, could be cured and healed if there was not almost a religious dedication to the so-called evidence-based medicine, when the only evidence that they're looking at is their own evidence, and they're shutting out real unbiased evidence to look at these natural remedies, herbs, and supplements, etc. The article goes on to say that curcumin provides therapeutic value. And they asked the question, how does, exactly does curcumin provide therapeutic value in the spinal cord injury? And they point out how that the main reason why curcumin has value in spinal cord injury is that due to the fact that overexpressed and or dysregulated inflammation is the primary driver of damage to damaged tissues. In spinal cord injury, there are both primary and secondary inflammatory processes that are believed responsible for the often permanent damage caused by such injury, to point out. Again, as we've talked about here on Phase 3 Wellness before, turmeric is an excellent, excellent herb for inflammation. There are some other ones as well that I would combine. I would combine also willow bark with turmeric and also boswellia. All of them excellent, excellent herbs to cut back and to draw inflammation out of the system. But citing the study, they say two phases of spinal cord injury exist. Primary, and this is a quote, primary injury starts after physical impact, causing damage to some axons, and the cascade of inflammatory events that follow causes the loss of large numbers of axons, resulting in sensory motor losses, termed secondary injury. And it goes, then the article goes on to say further, clearly then curcumin may help to mitigate both the primary as well as the secondary dimensions of inflammation mediate spinal cord injury by acting as a potent pleiotropic anti-inflammatory. But this may only be the tip of the iceberg. The article says further, there are other ways identified in this research that curcumin may confer a therapeutic role, such as its ability to stimulate the class of regenerative cells within the body known as stem cells. In fact, not until recently was it known that the spinal cord harbors stem cells capable of regenerating damaged tissue. Moreover, it was only recently demonstrated that turmeric possesses the ability, the article goes on to point out, believed primarily mediated through the fraction known as aromatic turmerone to regeneration of damaged neurological tissue via neural stem cells. And in this article, they go on to point out how they reported on this in greater depth recently in one of their articles entitled How Whole Turmeric Can Heal the Whole Brain. They go on to say in this article, another exciting finding also reported recently that curcumin stimulates the proliferation of neural progenitor cells that can heal the spinal cord. Essentially, therefore, curcumin may be able to address the root cause of disability caused by spinal cord injury. Goes on to say, they cite the study again, pointing out how the study also addresses curcumin's role as an antioxidant and antifibrotic agent in mitigating spinal cord injury damage and stimulating accelerated healing. They go on to say, in support of this, you can view over 300 studies on curcumin's antioxidant properties in their database and 14 studies on its antifibrotic properties as well. That's at greenmedinfo.com. And closing out on this particular study, they say, finally, the study looks at the compelling preclinical data showing that curcumin stimulates accelerated function recovery in animal models of spinal cord injury. This is a very important aspect, they point out, because even if science is not yet fully capable of understanding the exact mechanisms at play in stimulating spinal cord injury healing, the observation that curcumin does in fact produce functional improvement and or recovery is the most important and relevant finding. And let me add to that, it's true. Sometimes we don't always understand every detail of how or why something works. But if it's a remedy that's been given by the creator, like curcumin, and it's working, we should not say, well, we're not going to use it because we really don't understand all of the mechanisms. If it's clearly working, and it's working on a consistent basis, and it's working for many different people, from many different backgrounds, from many different blood chemistry types, why not use it and then find out later, keep researching if you want to find out specifically why and how it works. We're not going to find out every little detail of how everything works always to perfection. This is one of the limitations of us being human beings. We have to understand that we're not all knowing, and that we have to just accept the fact that some things we're simply not going to always understand. It's as simple as that. And so this article at Green Med Info goes on to point out further that given all the compelling research available showing curcumin has at least comparable, if not superior, effectiveness versus conventional treatment, it should at least be looked at as an adjunct complementary therapy. And not only that, if curcumin, as it's been shown, can be at least as effective, if not more so effective, there's still a benefit in not having the side effects. There's some of the side effects, sometimes severe, with these opioids and these other drugs. And then you get the benefits. And this is one of the things about the remedy that the Creator has given us. We get many of the benefits, if not more benefits oftentimes, without having to worry about the side effects, the negative side effects. And finally, they say, not surprisingly, our research investigation into natural spinal cord therapies conducted over the past 7 years has found over a dozen additional natural substances of potential value. They say, lastly, consider that turmeric extract or curcumin has been studied preclinically to be superior to over a dozen conventional drugs. And they point out how you can read about this at their site as well. And so, again, you're listening to Faith 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. That was an excellent article from Green Med Info as well, talking about how turmeric heals spinal cord injuries better than drugs or surgery that this review suggests. Again, that was our first segment. We will move on to our second segment, which is our healing food segment. As I mentioned earlier, I will be talking about onion, the benefit of onion in this segment. And again, just remember, the three articles that we covered in the first segment were excellent, excellent articles. And if you came in and you didn't catch, if you came in to listen and you didn't catch the beginning of that first segment, I highly recommend that you go back and you listen to this, the rebroadcast or once the show is over. As always, it will be available probably right here on Blog Talk Radio, probably in about 10 minutes after the broadcast is completed. And then it's all, like I said before, it's also will have be available in different areas at on the web, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of different platforms on my page at LinkedIn, Twitter. So again, it's spread everywhere. I highly recommend you listen to it, share it, because the information is crucial. This information is crucial. Now, you're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Let's pivot over to our second segment, which is our healing food segment. Now, in this segment, again, we're going to be talking about onions. Now, again, most people like onions, especially when they're mixed in their food, whatever food they're eating. They give food amazing flavor, and it can enhance the taste of your food. But let's look at onions from a therapeutic perspective. Now, let's look. The first thing is, what's the best way to eat onions? The best way to eat onions, they're actually raw. But it's not the only way to eat. That's the best way. Sometimes you can mix them in different ways. Won't go into everything, but let's look at some of the composition of onions. Onions, they contain a number of nutrients. They contain potassium. They have some iron. They have some magnesium. They have some phosphorus. They even have some vitamin C. They have some folate. They have some niacin and B, they have some B2 and B1. They have a little bit of fiber. They have some carbohydrates and proteins, etc. Now, onions they actually have all of the B vitamins are present. The B complex vitamins, which is so important, except for B12. And although they have these vitamins, they're there in very small amounts. And then what most people don't understand about onions is that they have an essential oil which gives them their smell, which give onions their smell. And this oil is actually responsible for the onions, again, its odor. And onions are considered highly volatile, or this oil, rather, is highly volatile, and it actually evaporates very easily. And the composition of it is very complex, according to the studies, the science behind it. Onions also have flavonoids, which improve your blood circulation and prevent blood clots. They help to reduce your platelet stickiness and block the oxidation of low density lipoproteins. That's your that's what they call your bad cholesterol. They also have quercetin, one of the most active flavonoids. So there was a study conducted at the University of Wageningen in the Netherlands. which demonstrated that quercetin is well absorbed in the intestines regardless of whether the onion is raw or cooked. So again, that flavonoid, quercetin flavonoid, which is very beneficial, is available in the gastrointestinal tract whether you eat the onion raw or whether you eat it cooked. The flavonoids, they basically help the body in the substances that form the essential oils. These flavonoids, as well as the substances that form the essential oils, rather, is well absorbed in your gastrointestinal tract, but it also helps with most of the onion's properties to make it antibiotic, to make it a decongestant, to make it anti-asthmatic, which we're going to talk about that in a second, to make it beneficial for your heart and your arterial, and make it a heart beneficial for your heart, and as well as an arterial protector, a diuretic, and also to make onions anti-carcinogenic or anti-cancer causing. The onion has is rich in enzymatic substances such as oxidase, et cetera. Now, let's look a little bit closer at onions for some of its therapeutic benefits. Let's look at it for some of its, as I said earlier, I would talk about some of its respiratory, for its benefit for respiratory disorders. Now, onions are high in sulfur, as are garlic. Onions and garlic are essentially cousins. So the sulfur compounds that form onions, essential oil, actually pass rapidly into your bloodstream from your stomach, and they are first released in your lungs. Now, this explains why after eating onions for just a few minutes, the breath, you have that onion breath, because again, it's absorbed from your stomach into your lungs, etc. And remember, onions are, in terms of some of their therapeutic benefits, they're actually able to break down heavy mucus and remember, because it's coming through your lungs, and help you as an expectorant to be able to throw that stuff out, that mucus out of your lungs. So again, it's working. The Creator has made it to be a medicine. Remember, I said let your food be your medicine, your medicine be your food. Some of these foods actually work on the level as a medicine. Now, when it comes to onions, all respiratory infection from sinusitis to pneumonia can be improved by eating onions. And primarily, if you want them for respiratory infections and et cetera, you're going to get the most benefit when eating them for those therapeutic reasons when you eat them raw. But you can also use them also boiled. You can also use them baked or in syrup. Like one of the things that a natural practitioner may sometimes suggest is for ear pain, it may suggest baking an onion to release some of its properties and basically putting it over each ear to help with ear infection and pain. So again, there's different ways to use it. Now let's talk about, it also can be used in bronchial asthma. In fact, there was in the pediatric clinic of the University of Ludwig, Max Mallon in Germany, it's proven that thiosulfonate, one of the components of the onion's essential oil, is capable of stopping bronchial allergic reaction in asthma cases. So then that's onion. It was shown that thiosulfonate from onions acts on the respiratory center of the brainstem as well as producing dilation of the bronchial passages. So it works not only on the brain, but also on the bronchial passages in the lungs. So again, that's how one of the therapeutic ways in which onion works. In these particular investigations, they plainly found that the use of raw onion for bronchial asthma, because of its anti-allergenic and bronchial dilator effects, that it had a very positive effect on your bronchial tubes and the lungs. So again, if you have any type of lung issue, asthma, etc., especially if you take these onions raw, you're going to get a benefit when taking them. Now, when eating them. Now let's look at onions' therapeutic benefits when it comes to arteriosclerosis and coronary heart disease. Again, we talked about onion being a close relative of garlic. We know that garlic benefits the blood and the circulatory system, the heart, but onion also has a benefit as well. And in fact, there's more and more evidence coming out that show that onions can actually help prevent arteriosclerosis as well as thrombosis, which is blood clots within the arteries and your veins. So onions can also help prevent the formation of blood clots in your arteries and in your veins. In fact, in 1989, a study conducted at the University of Limburg in the Netherlands found that the onion's cardiovascular benefits had not been sufficiently demonstrated. However, in 1996, various investigations showed that those that eat more onions and apples, two of the foods richest in the flavonoid quercetin, have a lower risk of dying from a heart attack. So if you, the more onions you eat and the more apples you eat, they found that the risk of your dying from a heart attack was significantly reduced. So if you think about eating onions on a regular basis in any form, can actually help prevent arteriosclerosis. It also helps improve your blood flow in all of your arteries, and it can reduce the risk of suffering a serious complication such as a heart attack and even probably a stroke as well, since a lot of the same mechanisms are taking place there. Also, when we look at onions, they have a benefit when dealing with elevated triglycerides. Triglycerides formed from fatty acids, and glycerin are a type of fat that circulate in your blood. So again, you hear a lot of times when you get a blood test or whatever, your doctor may mention, you know, your triglycerides are high. It's basically a blood fat content, essentially. But it's been shown that consuming a liquid extract from onions reduces triglycerides in the blood as well as in the liver. Onion also increases your HDL, your good cholesterol level, and helping to also help prevent arteriosclerosis. So basically, in a nutshell, not only are onions good for your lungs, they're also good for your heart as a result of helping your arteries and your blood, helping your blood and your arteries. It's just good for your entire circulatory system. Also, onions have been also found to help with some kidney disorders because onions actually increase your urine volume, facilitating the elimination of waste material because of their alkalizing effect. Remember, we talk about being alkaline and being acid on here many, many times, and how the body in a state of health is always slightly more alkaline than acid. And so if you're someone that's also, or you know someone that's having some issues with their kidney or in renal failure, one of the things that they would be benefit from is by increasing the amount of onions eaten in their diet. Also, onions could also help with kidney stones, urinary infections overall, or any degree of renal failure. So again, onions are going to benefit, again, your blood, your heart, your lungs, going to help prevent arteriosclerosis. This is just one food that the Creator has given us. So this is where we talk about let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. Not only that, it has some therapeutic benefit for diabetes. Onions actually help reduce the blood glucose level. They are therefore indicated for diabetics. So again, it can help with your blood glucose. So there you have again, you have benefiting of the diabetes, likelihood of your blood sugar level, because we have diabetics or potential diabetics. It can help with kidney disorders. It can help with elevated blood triglycerides. It can help with arteriosclerosis and coronary heart disease. It can help with respiratory disorders and like bronchoasthma. Interesting. Finally, onions actually can also help stimulate the detoxifying function of your liver. It can help your liver with this detoxifying process. And if your liver is functioning up to where it can detoxify, it's helping your entire body. Because if your liver is not functioning up to par, you're sooner or later going to have some issues. It's so very important for that liver to be functioning to the extent that it can help detoxify the body in itself. So onions actually can stimulate the detoxifying function of your liver, and they can also, as well as improving the activity of your digestion by helping the juices and your digestive tract to be produced in a more efficacious fashion. Finally, there was a study conducted in China and sponsored by the National Cancer Institute of the United States. And in this study, they found that those that ate more onions and garlic have a much lower risk of developing stomach cancer. Interesting. So, again, as another benefit, if you're eating more more onions and garlic, the likelihood that you can develop, that you will develop stomach cancer, actually goes down. There are other studies also that demonstrate onions' capacity, as well as that of garlic, which they remember I said that they're cousins, to help prevent the development of tumor cells and to neutralize carcinogens. Again, let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. So if you look at some of the things that we've talked about when today, when talking about this healing food onion, we've seen the onion be beneficial in helping to prevent cancer and helping to stave off liver disorders and helping to stave off diabetic issues, kidney disorders, elevated blood triglycerides, arterial sclerosis and coronary heart disease, as well as respiratory disorders. That's at least seven areas that eating onions and consuming onions can actually benefit our health therapeutically. So we are indeed, should be thankful to the Creator, and we should understand though that it's important to let our food be our medicine and our medicine be our foods. You listen to Faith Through Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We are in our healing food segment. We just finished talking about the healing, some of the healing properties of onions and why we should be eating them, how they can help be preventative. Not only can they help be prevent disease, but they can also help heal disease, as we talked about before. Again, we are now going to go over to our final segment. And our final segment is our healing herb segment. And today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite substances is activated charcoal. I put it in the class of herb. This is basically how it can be used. Now, when we say activated charcoal, I'm not talking about the charcoal that one uses to do a cookout or barbecue or whatnot. That charcoal is actually carcinogenic. We're talking about activated charcoal that's made by basically burning wood. It's like from the eucalyptus tree, et cetera, and pulverizing it and using that pulverized wood. It's also can be made from coconut shells by doing it the same way. But then we'll be talking about charcoal made from wood, activated charcoal. And you need to have this at your home. I'm going to tell you, you need to have activated charcoal. It's good to carry it. Maybe have some at your home and carry some in your car, maybe in your glove compartment or somewhere in your car. You need to have this. It is so crucial to have. And I'm going to tell you here why. Now, I want to start off by giving you a story by a natural health practitioner that uses charcoal heavily in their practice. And I give you the book that I extracted this from. And I highly recommend that you consider purchasing this book for your library, so you can learn some of the ways that you can use charcoal efficaciously. I've used it personally. I've recommended it to be used, and it is one of the best remedies that you can have, and you need to have it. So I'll start off by quoting, and I'll give you the name of his book in a second. He says, a prominent Columbus, Georgia executive was traveling to Mexico when he developed a bad case of turista, or the common euphemism for diarrhea among tourists. It is generally caused from E. coli bacterium in unsanitary food and water. He says he was having diarrhea 2 to 3 times an hour on the first day of his disease with much discomfort in the abdomen. A doctor treated him while he was there in Mexico with the usual antibiotics and Lomotil. And he goes on to say that a week later, when he returned home, he consulted his own doctor because the condition had settled down to 3 to 5 diarrhea stools a day. It settled down to 3 to 5 diarrhea stools a day with continuing discomfort. He got a change of medication, but no change of symptoms. After 12 days of the disease and 8 different medicines, he called us desperately seeking suggestions for a natural remedy. So think about that for a minute. He had a bad case of diarrhea that went on for 12 days and 8 different medicines. He decided finally, said, you know, maybe I need to look at a different, may consider a different path, which we natural practitioners encounter that all the time. And sometimes it makes our job a lot more difficult if it's a serious disease and then the body has been burdened down, not only with the disease, but with the toxic medications. But the author goes on to say what they did was, he says, we begin a routine of 1 tablespoon of charcoal in a glass of water, followed by a full glass of water every time he had a loose stool. So again, he said, we began a routine of 1 tablespoon of charcoal in a glass of water, followed by a full glass of water every time he had a loose stool. So every time he had a loose stool, he was going to take 1 glass of water with charcoal in it, followed by a full glass of water. And normally you would put a heaping teaspoon of charcoal into an 8-ounce glass of water. He goes on to say, the author John Densley goes on to say, within 2 days, he was entirely well and sold on charcoal. Now he never travels without charcoal and always takes a tablespoon with the first hint of a symptom. Now, this is from the book CharcoalRemedies.com. And I have the paperback I bought some years ago, but he also has it available now on his site in downloadable form as well as paperback. Again, I'm not an affiliate for this book or anything of that nature. I just think it's an excellent book to have in your library. And you need to have charcoal in your home and probably some in your car as well. It's that important. It is that important. Now, let's look at another case that he gives. Again, it's the book again is CharcoalRemedies.com. The author is John Densley. CharcoalRemedies.com, and the subtitle is The Complete Handbook of Medicinal Charcoal and Its Applications. Great book, great book. You should have it in your library. He goes on to talk about how he's used charcoal in severe throbbing and feverish cellulitis and seen it subside in a matter of 5 minutes after the application of a charcoal poultice. He goes on to say how the reaction is unbelievable unless you actually observe it yourself. Now, the question is, well, what is cellulitis? Cellulitis can be defined. Let's define it from as Mayo Clinic defines it. Mayo Clinic says cellulitis is a common, potentially serious bacterial skin infection. The affected skin appears swollen and red and is typically painful and warm to the touch. Cellulitis usually affects the skin on the lower legs, but it can occur in the face, arms, and other areas. It occurs when a crack or break in your skin allows bacteria to enter. Left untreated, the infection can spread to your lymph nodes and bloodstream and rapidly become life-threatening. It isn't usually spread from person to person. But as John Densley says in his book, CharcoalRemedies.com, says we have seen pain and severe throbbing and feverish cellulitis subside in a matter of 5 minutes after the application of a charcoal poultice. He says, again, the reaction is unbelievable unless actually observed. So think about that, this remedy that we're discussing here, activated charcoal, another remedy that the Creator has made available to us. How efficacious it is in treating something like cellulitis, how efficacious it was in treating this severe case of diarrhea, where after the man tried 8 different medications, and after 12 days and was getting essentially not much benefit. Finally, in this book, and again, most natural practitioners will be relatively aware, many of them will be aware of the benefits and how to use charcoal. But this show is not just for natural practitioners, it's for the general public. So take my word, have this in your home. Next case he gives in CharcoalRemedies.com is the case of a snake bite. He says, our first case was reported to us by telephone. A couple living in a remote area of Arkansas, 60 miles down a winding road from the nearest hospital, called in great distress to report that their 1.5-year-old son had been bitten in the chest by a copperhead moccasin. He goes on to say how this snake may cause death to a small child, and the family was surrounded by some swelling, and the child was in excruciating pain. He said that they instructed the couple to get to the emergency room as quickly as possible, but he also told them to apply charcoal poultices one after the other every 10 minutes until they got there. So they're going to use, the instruction was to make charcoal poultices, leave it on the wound for 10 minutes, Take that charcoal poultice off and then place another charcoal poultice every 10 minutes on their route to the hospital. He says several hours later, the family called them to report that the child was doing quite well, that in fact, by the time the child had gotten to the hospital, the child was asleep, the swelling had gone down, and the pain had obviously stopped. It had significantly reduced. For the child to go to sleep, the pain apparently had stopped. He said the physician went ahead and administered the anti-venom to be on the safe side, but he actually told him that he didn't really believe it was necessary because the child had no ill effects. So this is why I tell you to keep this charcoal on hand. It's very efficacious to help protect from the poisonous bites of snakes and spiders and most other venomous insects and things. This is why you should keep it on hand for you and your family. Very, very, very important to have this on hand. You'll be glad that you had it. Finally, he says in the same book, he says one of the most beneficial remedies is pulverized charcoal in a bag. He recommends that we use it, and I recommend that you use it. I've used it in cases of fire ant bites, and I've seen it literally stop an attack of the burning and the pain from fire ants and literally instantly use it. And so again, I've seen it draw inflammation out of swollen and inflamed fingers and sores and et cetera. I've seen activated charcoal help people who have been with food poisoning. In fact, this is what they use if you're taken to the hospital and you're poisoned, they give you charcoal. So again, activated charcoal is a very, very beneficial remedy, and it's probably the single most beneficial substance that I've ever recommended that you use on this broadcast. I highly recommend that you get this book as well. This book will give you a lot of different ways, illustrations how they have used it, give you some ideas. It's safe to take both internally as well as externally. Now, I will say this, if you're on some type of medication, you need to check and be careful because if you're on a medication, and this is where you need to redo some research yourself to find out or work with a natural practitioner that's aware that many drugs, if you take on medication and you take that and you take the charcoal, activated charcoal internally, it's going to basically make that medication in most cases ineffective because of its ability to absorb all the poisons. The medication out of your body. So this is why it's very important to understand that it's very important. If you're using it externally, not a problem, but if you're going to be using it internally, if you or your family members are on a particular medication, it doesn't affect all medication, but it affects the great majority of them. So again, this is why it's so very important that you understand, do research on how to use it. That's why I tell you to get this book, read through it, use it for you and your family. Make sure you order some charcoal, activated charcoal, and have it on hand. For snake bites, any type of venomous bite you want to have it, bee stings, etc. You've been listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I want to thank you for joining me this afternoon, wherever you may be joining me here in the U.S. or from around the world. Again, if you came in on the broadcast near the end or in the middle and you missed some of the information, this broadcast will be available on this platform in about 10 minutes, maybe even less. I highly recommend that you listen to this. This broadcast had a lot of very important information. If you enjoy it, pass it on to your friends and your loved ones. A lot of information is here is crucial for us to know, to have. And we plan to be back here next week, same time, same place. This is the Phase 3 Wellness Podcast radio show. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. And until next time, bless and be healthy.